welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Energy. I have a fabulous person who I thought was the director, but turns out he's a producer, but he's still got to answer all the questions. Jonathan
Lipka.
Welcome to the show. And his film is Happy Fucking Sunshine. So that can tell you people there's going to be some swearing on this show, I think.
Maybe a little. Yeah.
So I want to start just at the title. How do you market a film? I mean, I know you reduced, obviously, the middle part of the word.
Yeah.
But that really doesn't get, I think, the point across of the film.
Well, so you're going to love this. So we were having a hard time with the title. And we had another title originally. And we're talking with, like, our sales agents, talking to salesmen. We're trying to really understand, like, how to get this to market. So Ryan, who wrote it, is the capital P on it. We're literally walking to get a sandwich in his neighborhood, throwing, like, stuff back and forth because we've been doing selects on the music and kind of figuring out how to put all that together. And he's just like, you know, it should just be something like Happy Fucking Sunshine. I'm like, that's it, because that's memorable. And that's basically how it came about, like, the name of the of it, all that. We're like, why don't we just make it about that, like the band, like the name of the band. And that's where it happened. And in terms of marketing and that, I mean, we finished that film in 2018. So we were in Berlin in 2019, just before the COVID wall collapsed and shut down everything. I was actually planning on going to Italy, funny enough. And then Italy's borders closed more or less while we were in Berlin. I'm like, I should fly back to Toronto. That's probably smart. And then
probably a good idea.
Oh yeah. And we had like offers and a bunch of people very interested in the film at that time. And then COVID just went. So we did what we could and got it into some really, really reputed festivals around the world. It played pretty well, and then got a sales agent on it and pushed it out. Like, that's the narrative of how it's how you got to see it, where you saw it.
But even the title, nobody had any issues with the title?
No one had any issues with the title when we shortened it, because we knew it was ending up. So theater owners, this would be a rep theater, like cinema thing. They don't care. Like, I was one, and I'm like, you know, it's cool. It's a cool title. I'll go with it. Never had any problems. The festivals didn't have any problems with it either, because it's not really, you're not really selling it to kids. You know, when you're selling you're selling a film to, like, you know, under 14s, under 13s, like 12s and stuff, that becomes an issue, even though I think the story is universal. And I think there is a lot of good stuff in there for younger audiences. I never really thought that would be the landing place. I always thought it would be like 16 and up, 17 and up, and really understand the kind of the context of it, because there are hard questions to be asked in there, and discussions about, you know, both drugs and abuse and family dynamics and like the collapse of economies and stuff. Like, there's a lot of complex questions for people. So we're like, well, let's just give it a name that is memorable and that's sticky, because we've gone through names and names and names, and we just couldn't get anything that was really felt sticky and that felt like it really captured the experience of a band like that. It's like, it's your first band, and everybody knows your first band more or less isn't going to make it, but you're going to come up with something that's really cool to you. So it was like, it just felt right. And Ryan was brought up in a very small town like that. Oh, sorry, that's the pizza. Hold on one sec.
On it. Okay, so the film is out there, you're ready to go. Now, I want to start at the very, very beginning. You're a producer. So I mean, somebody else wrote and directed. How did you find it?
So Ryan, who is my partner in Other Animal, we founded Other Animal with Poor Agnes. He wrote that with one of the other writers we'd worked with, James Ross. And originally, they were looking at doing it as, like, kind of outside Other Animal, to do kind of a dramatic film. And then when we were looking at kind of like what we wanted to do, you know, just get, let's like kind of do something that's just different than genre, because we're going to plan on doing, and everything subsequently we've done a genre. Let's do something that's like, in the drama space. We all love music. I mean, we all kind of came together through music. I used to write music for short films and commercials and all that stuff. And Ryan's been playing guitar for years. So we both have that love in that history, the music history. So we're like, let's do this. That's essentially how it came about. And the original script was very, very different. It was a lot more angry. It was a lot darker. There was stuff that was just like, I didn't feel like we could really make it work as a title where people would emotionally connect with it. Like I felt like there was some distance from that. So through the development, we worked to kind of get to the core of what these guys were feeling as the characters of the time. And I don't mean like polish up the language or anything. It's like, no, like what's really connecting in the emotional arcs of the story. So that's essentially the how it came to be. It's like just a good, it was just a good story, something I th we all felt we really connected with, and we the end of it, I think that's what made us want to do that one in particular. So
I gotta say, your cast is spot on for something I would think be in this band.
that's awesome. The
I
cast, they're so all of those guys we pulled out of the North. So they're performers and actors out of the North, out of Canada specifically. So Derek, outside of directing and writing, was teaching at Canada as well. He was teaching some of the acting programs and filmmaking programs. And it's like there's this cohort of students when we met him. It's like that were phenomenal. He's like, once in every 10 years you see some people that have this kind of qualities. And we had gone through casting and tried a bunch of different people, and then he brought these guys to us, and we just let them read as they were, and we're like, they're ex exactly the characters of the story. We were blown away. Like they brought, I should say, the characters of the story to them. They pulled what they had inside of them and really made it into something. And I think in the end of it, when we were cutting the film and we were looking at the performances, the polish that we got out of it, I think we were all surprised because they're very raw performers. But the thing that I think really attracted me to the end of the story, like how we pulled people through this, was like you have an authenticity because these people are from that region and they've had these stories and they've experienced this before, that they brought to the camera, that I think if we brought in any other actors, they wouldn't have done the same quality of work. They would have been able to reach the same places. And yes, Wolfie. Okay, that's the kid. Oh, pizza. Yes, I know you're eating pizza. I'm just as where was I? Yeah, the actors are amazing. Love them. Great. No, I've watched that film. I don't even know, probably over 100 times now, at least between all the edits and like screenings and just like checking for stuff and going through and like I want to pull clips out of, and every time I come back to it, which is funny because I was right there in it, I'm like, I'm still seeing nuances in the performances I didn't see in the mixing room and the editing room. And like we've been trying to figure out if there's a way we can bring some of these actors and performers back, and they've all kind of, gone and done other things afterwards. But yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I'm very glad you liked it.
Okay, let's go to the beginning. You have an opening shot. Where's the factory?
The factory is in North Bay. So it's an actual like mill they smelt metal and they make metal pieces.
Okay. You had so many people in this opening shot, I was shocked. Now, how did that occur? Usually when I watch independent film, there are people in it, but not a horde. This was a full-on TV production, it looked like at the beginning.
Yeah, we spent the money where we need to spend the money. That's basically how we look at it. It's like, to paint the scenes to really make them feel big, we're like, we need the picket area to feel like there's picketers, like it actually feels real. We need the mill to be a real, authentic mill to sell the idea that, this actually happens, because it does. Like, mills closing and towns disappearing is like it's a common story. And we worked with Actra on that, because it was an Actra film, and they were gracious enough to basically find us a number of really great, talented actors and performers up there, and some of them are actually locals that we brought in. Some of them are, regional. Some of them were local to the city, to really give it that feel like they had been there. Yeah, thanks for spotting that though, because I mean, most of the time I'm watching it, it's an environmental thing. Like you just exist with it, but.
No, I definitely felt that. So in North Bay, who got you that location then? Did Actress say you have a location, or did you have a location scout, or did you personally find
We
that?
had a location manager who found some really spectacular stuff. I'm trying to remember who brought that one in though. I think that might have been Derek. One of Derek's friends pointed him to that. He's like, hey, this exists, and we went and checked it out and worked the deal, and the family was really happy to work with us on it.
And also, I have to touch on the record store.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. I've never seen
Isn't
anything
that
that
cool?
cool.
Isn't that
Where
cool?
is this?
That's on the main stretch. That's like a pawn shop on the main stretch.
A North Bay?
in North Bay, like downtown North Bay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super cool. Super. I mean, the guitar was that was a sponsored guitar. So the main guitar was sponsored, but a lot of the gear in there, that was all part of like just what existed there. Really cool.
So when did you shoot that scene? Like on a Sunday morning then when they're not open or obviously it wasn't late at night because he walks
No.
in during the day.
Yeah, we were. That was I think that was a half day. That was a half day shoot because we did a bunch of exteriors that day, and I think that was one of the ones that we did like noon afternoon kind of area. I think it was around then. Yeah.
Okay, I do want to touch on this film has a lot of metal references. Who knows so much about metal? Because I mean,
Ryan.
you do not hear
Ryan.
this anymore in films.
Yeah, Ryan, that's all Keller. Keller 100% is the metal head of the crew.
Okay, because I mean,
Jeff, our other partner, is like all drum and bass, and I'm like electronic and all the classics in the film. That's like my world. So, yeah.
I do want to discuss the drummer in the film.
Yeah.
Was she actually drumming ever?
Yeah, that was her.
It
The whole
really is all her.
that's all her.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a hit a little bit harder than I will say. I can tell.
Yeah, no, they the lead didn't know how to play guitar. So he had 6 weeks of lessons before we started the film. Everybody else already had their kind of the musical training in
Yeah,
there.
they looked okay. The two, I would say, guitars looked fine to me. The drummer, just because of the band she was in, I thought it should be a little bit harder. If that makes sense.
I mean that might be the recording. That might be
Okay. Maybe it
the
was a recording, because I'm like,
recording.
these guys are supposed to be a metal band. I'm like, I listen to enough metal. I'm going, move it. Because she's
Give
just
me
like, I'm like, we're not in a
the
jazz
double kick.
band.
Give me the double kick.
Yeah,
It's
give
all
me something.
Pantera.
Because I really felt she was watching too many jazz videos. I'm like, shh. That's just a personal opinion. So, you've
Happy
done
jazz
so much
session.
with music. Did you give them direction on how to shoot things, or you just sort of backed off?
So we had so on set, Derek was directing the performances.
Yes, I understand that.
So Ryan and the DP had done a number of music shows actually for I'm trying to remember the name of the outlet, like five or six series. Just put it this way, of like go shoot performers, shoot the bands, shoot the audio sessions, the live stuff. So they've done, I'm pretty sure close to like 100 different episodes of TV in it. So you have those two guys who know, like Ryan working on the production, working as the producer, working that, and then Clem, who is on DP, who they work together, kind of figuring out how to make those shots kind of flow with Derek's idea of like, we want to direct it so it moves around. So you're capturing the energy of the scene in that. And so that's how that kind of came together. I mean that scene where he's like, counting off and living in that world, that was done, it was improvised. Some of that stuff was obviously improvised to kind of capture the moment of it.
So, could the lead singer actually sing?
The recording is not him.
That's what I was wondering, because the voice didn't sound right to me.
The recording was not him. He can sing, but not in, I think, in the just in terms of the performance of what we were going for, it really didn't kind of connect in the studio.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going for. Okay, so you're on the same wavelength. Like, this doesn't sound right to me.
Oh, sometimes that's if you heard it in surround sound, because you heard it on stereo, right? If you heard it in surround sound with the mix, you feel it differently. And
Oh, of course.
on the stereo mix, like I could see how that might pop out a little because we want to push the lyrics a little forward, so it might seem a little not, yeah.
So, who wrote the band's songs? Obviously, they didn't.
Both Ryan and I think James. Well, if you're gonna be famous, you're gonna be
You are
famous.
going to be famous.
Yeah, Ryan wrote a lot of the lyrics, and I know some of the lyrics were inspired by what's that called? him and James's work and some of the stuff they'd written in the past. But I was there when Ryan was writing some of the lyrics. He's like, I want to do a song that kind of matches this style and feel that this has kind of relates something. What are you doing? Okay. Sorry, a little distracted here. What are you doing, Wolfie? All right. Sorry, Rory. Yeah, lyrics, songs.
Yes, you got it.
Ryan wrote, I'd say about 90% of that, I think, if not almost all of it. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously they're actors. I understand they work with everything given, but could they relate to the music at all?
Yeah, they could. They could. Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
The Pogies song was like kind of started as like a joke, like an internal joke about like, everybody up there talks about going on Pogie. I'm like, that isn't really talked about anymore. Oh, Wolfie, you're gonna get a cookie from Mama. Okay. So,
Yeah, I
whoa.
do.
All right, sorry.
No problem. The meat cutting scene, is that real meat?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's an is that an actual bear? I'm
Is it a
trying to
bear? I could not
remember.
figure it
Okay, I
out.
think there was I think we managed to get roadkill. I'm trying to remember because like there was a couple instances of bear in the north, which happens. On Agnes, this hunter walks out, like drives up to where our set is, walks out with his gear on. We didn't know that he was coming. And literally, like he's like you're walking into like a horror film and like guns and everything, and literally sets up a bear trap in front of everybody. So that's one bear story. And then I know there's another bear story, and I think this was the one again. It's the north, and I think there was roadkill that we managed to get. So someone hit a bear, and then we managed to get it to set. I want to make sure that's actually. I think that's actually what happened. Sorry, there were so many like instances there, and I was very exhausted when a lot of this stuff happened, and I buried a lot of these memories. You're
No, no
asking about
problem.
the bear, and I just watch it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. We cut up an animal, and like that's just a visceral experience. But now I'm like, yeah, I think it was an actual dead bear. It was roadkill, because I mean
Fair enough.
the story was roadkill, and I think we managed to, the at about the same time we found roadkill, which is it's the north. I guess it happened.
It does. What was the weed made out of?
Actual weed.
You're serious?
Yeah, it was spent weed. So it was
Oh.
already someone already had extracted all the stuff off of it. It was a buddy of mine. I'm like, and he's like, can I just have some of the stuff that doesn't have any
I know what you're
like
talking about.
resins left in?
I know
And
exactly the stuff.
yeah, and I'm just like, and he's like, sure. So he just literally gave me a couple pounds of it. I'm like, cool, awesome.
I don't want to be remiss not discuss Shaggy's.
Shaggy's, yeah.
Is that the bar?
Yeah.
Do I have the, where is it? What is it?
Oh, well, I gotta remember that it is also in North Bay. I can't remember the name right now. That's not the one with the that yeah, that's the one with the shooting at the is that
That's
the one
where I am. That's where I
with the
am.
stage? Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It has a small stage. Exactly what you see on set is exactly how it works. The curtains behind the set.
Yes.
We were all sitting back there. I was sitting back there with the actors while we were setting everything up, and we're just kind of hanging out. It was our green room. That was their green room. And then the stage was, the size of a thimble, that you would get
Yes.
in a small town like that. And then all the bar tables in the bar, that's like ex other than moving some of the stuff off the dance floor, there was a few tables and stuff we moved pushed back. That was exactly how it was laid out. I don't think they really touched up too much, other than to get the lights in and kind of get the
Yeah,
shot.
that would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to go back to the Scooby-Doo van. I cannot leave out the Scooby-Doo van.
I'm glad you like that.
Whose van is this, and where did you find it?
So the concept originates where I was like, we need to have like a metal van.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I want an airbrush metal van. And I had these big dreams of like, I want an airbrush with like, the wolf on the moon with the guy with the sword,
I
like the
know
whole
exactly
thing.
what you're talking
The whole
about.
thing. And then I was talking to Steph, who is our art director, and she's just like, why don't you do it like this? Right. And so we were talking about it. So we talked to our car company, like the prop company, prop cars. And they're like, just grabbed a white van, and then she did the entire artwork on it. She decked out the inside to give it that like 1970s shag, you know, come to the back
Oh
of my
my
van, have a
God.
drink. Yeah.
Yes.
Like nailed it perfectly. Steph
Oh.
is a god when it comes to that kind of kitsch stuff. She's like right on it.
So the gun's obviously a prop gun, I presume.
Yes, gun was a prop gun.
Okay, I don't know.
No, we don't use any no live stuff on set. No live stuff on
Okay.
set.
And those
But
curtains in that van were impressive.
thank you. I remember we were setting it up in because they shot a lot of the interiors in like a small warehouse space. We drove the van in, set the lights up just so we could get it
Oh.
kind of controlled. Like the some of the wall when you walk up to the van, all that was all shot on set, but like the actual inside to control the sound and the lights and all that.
Yes, because you have one scene that I knew the van wasn't moving because I couldn't tell, but you had the curtains and you were shooting inside the van, discussing things. I'm like, okay, something's going on outside, and I'm definitely more interested in the outside because I want to know why they're shooting this.
Very good eye. Yes. Yeah, we
Yeah,
definitely.
that's that one scene because they go get in the van at once and the gun's on the wall and they have that big discussion. So, I don't want to really ruin the end of the film, but I want to touch on a tiny bit. You
Okay.
do have something that said, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah never opens. I don't think I'm ruining anything, but I thought that was very prevalent.
So I'd have to go back and rewatch it. I can't remember.
Sorry. Okay.
No,
The
you can tell me to
mill.
bleep out the thing or
Okay.
whatever.
I'm not going to say that, but I'm just saying I thought that was very good for the end of the film. I liked where it ended.
Okay. I'm glad. That's really
I'll
good.
leave it at that. I was hoping that they were going to have more complete songs. So was that ever done, or is this always what I got?
No, the I can't remember if we ever released all of it. So I know we put a lot of the clips in, but they did record pretty much full songs of everything, like
Okay.
1.5, 2.5 minutes of the full songs. I don't know if we put them out though. I'm trying to remember. I know we just did the last one. We just released all of it, but this was a while ago. And we didn't have the infrastructure for like releasing. We set up a record company on the last film so we could start releasing everything ourselves to kind of handle the publishing a little more fluidly. But yeah, I can look them up if you want to hear them. I can see if I can send you the whole thing so you could
That'd
check
be
it.
great.
Yeah,
Okay,
man.
we're running out of time because I had to pause it, but I'm going to give you your fun questions. Your favorite film because your first time on the show?
Oh,
Oh, I
wow.
had one more question for you. I'm going to go back to it in a second. Give your favorite film and
Currently,
I'll.
wow. People ask me this all the time, and I'm like,
If you don't have one, say you don't have
watch,
one.
dude. I watch so much stuff, and like
So do I.
other than like everything Kubrick's ever made, and that's so I know
That's
everybody
fine. That's
says that, but
totally, I accept that.
the visual language and its communication with pictures,
It's
story writing, and all
incredible.
that fantastic, but like remarkable, like to the point where like you watch it and you feel like you're living in someone else's dream, and I'm like, other than like Alex Garland, who I absolutely love. I think he's fucking brilliant. I'm like,
Very similar director. Very
I'm
similar.
like, I like, I try and make stories of pictures. That's what it's all about. And I see a lot of other, and then I'm like, you're shooting stage plays. I want to watch a movie. And when I think I want to watch a movie, I think Kubrick right away. I think Spielberg too, but really Kubrick to me, like 2001, I tried to watch that with my son. He's a little too young.
Yeah, I would say so.
Die Hard series outside of that, probably my favorite franchise of all time.
Fair enough. So I going back to film before we run out of time. Shooting in the snow, I forgot to ask.
We were lucked out. It was only the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
True.
You're up in North Bay, it's going to be cold.
Always. It was cold. It was cold. The last scene, was kind of, it was a splinter unit scene. It was just like, what happened there? There was only a few cameras in that. It wasn't like the most recent one that we did, which I wasn't actually on set for because I was having Wolfgang, The Last Assassins. That was shot mostly in the snow, and let me tell you, they were getting like -30s. It was brutal for them. I was getting calls daily about how cold it was, and I'm like, that sucks, man. I bring you a blanket, but I have a baby.
Yep, you're busy. Okay, I'm going to give you one more question so we can get out of here. What is your favorite fast food restaurant?
This is a serious question. I take this very seriously.
I would too, because I have it.
I think in. Okay, where do I go to the most often? Not McDonald's. I find McDonald's is kind of yeah.
Yeah.
Island Foods. You know Island Foods?
I do Island Foods.
Island Foods is probably my favorite fast food restaurant in the GTA in Toronto.
Fair enough. I know that in Pickering.
It's because it's a chain. It's fast
Yeah,
food.
I know.
Their Dalpuri is amazing, but their curries, like it shouldn't be a fast food chain. Like it should be a mom and pop chain. Like it's so good.
True.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, tell where I can find your work.
Let me see. Tubi, YouTube. You can find it in theaters coming this year with The Last Assassins. And we have stuff coming out globally on a whole bunch of different TVOD platforms right now. Our film after that looks like it's getting a theatrical, actually a festival release here in Canada in the next couple of months. I can't really talk about any of this stuff because none of this is 100%
Fair
confirmed yet,
enough.
but lots of stuff going on. And then we're shooting another fall film next month, actually, a slasher film, which is going to be so fucking cool. So
Okay.
cool. So I'll
Thank you
keep
for
you
your
up to date
time
on.
and have a great night.
Thank you. You too.